Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. I'm sorry for the mishap. Something went wrong with the computer thing, and it gave me a half an hour more than I was supposed to get. Had I changed the time, because I called in like 15 minutes before showtime, I would have had to cancel the show and start over again. And sometimes when I do that, it locks me out, and I can't get back in. So I just, as you were calling in, it was telling you how much time we had, so I just let it go at that, okay? I apologize once again. This is Brother Elohim. You're listening to Elohim Speaks. And the topic for today is love, politics, God, family. We're going to talk about quite a few things today. We always start off with talking about love, because unless you know how to deal with each other, how to relate with each other on one-on-one and as a group, we'll never be able to come together and unify. Now, me being a black man, person, melanin, there's so many different names for us now that it gets a little confusing. It depends on what group and who you're talking to. But when I use the term black, I'm dealing with people that have been persecuted. For me, it's a political term. It has nothing to do with race or gender or anything. It's about people who have been persecuted. This is what we were talking about in the 60s, 70s. That's what we meant when we talk about black or black power. Power to the people who are being persecuted. That's what we were talking about, okay? And we've got a lot of different explanations out there. Now, the European, or I should say the 1%, are trying to break up that unity of black. So now they're saying, when you listen to radio and TV, they say black and brown, or pretty soon they'll be saying black, brown, red, and yellow, to get us off of that political mindset of going out doing things for people, to help people that are being persecuted by those who are running the system, okay? Now, let's talk about love for a second. Love is the act that makes others feel good. And unless you actually understand what love is, we'll never be able to relate to each other in a manner that we'll be able to get along. We have problems getting along with our family, our friends. We have problems getting along in groups. We're arguing and fussing about everything, mainly because we don't know how to treat each other. Now, Yeshua, whom you commonly know as Jesus Christ, said that we should love our enemies, okay? Now, if you're dealing with love the way this culture is teaching you about love, you're like some little uncontrollable emotional puppy who can't control himself, stalking, chasing after people, killing yourself, or because somebody don't want to be with you and things of that nature. Well, that's not love, see? You have a mental problem when you do stuff like that there, see? Because love is how you treat people, how you act towards people, what you're doing to people. This is love. Love is an action word, you know? So if every thought that you have does not make the other person feel good, then we have a problem, you see? Because that's not love. Now, when you think about the act that you're going to commit, think about the person that you're going to commit the act on. If this act is not going to make them feel good, then you're not loving this person, okay? And you're in a relationship. And if your acts don't make your mate feel good, then you're not loving this person. Now, we get together and get married. Now, when you get married, it's not out of an emotional response. You're getting married because you're supposed to be dealing with a person that you want to share your life with. Sharing your life with a person and loving a person is two different things, okay? Now, when you talk about the bills and taking care of the children and who's going to walk the dog and who's going to school and things of that nature. That's sharing life together. But know the little things about the person that makes that person feel good, and only that person feel good, then it you can get into loving the person, you know. When you bring something home and you come off from work, you don't bring something home for her and the children if you're bringing it for her or him. That's just for them. Just for them that they like. Their favorite movies, their favorite foods, their favorite drinks or whatever they are. You learn the person. And once you understand that love is the act to make others feel good, you don't use that information to piss them off. I know some people, well, I gotta test him. I do little things just to make sure he loved me. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't be with you. You know? And if you have to test that person, then something's wrong with the both of your understanding of what love is, you know? Person's going to work, they come home, they gotta do their sharing life with you, you know? Now a lot of men don't know what love is. They think sex is love. Now, sex feels good because it's part of the procreation process. We need these babies if we're going to survive into the millennium. You follow what I'm saying? But that's not love, see? Now, you can love that person while you're having sex by learning what they like, talking about what you like during a particular process, and doing what each other like to make each other feel good. Now, it's not the sex, it's that's the love. It's the actions that you've learned to commit to your person. Now you're loving the person, okay? So I always like to talk about love in the beginning, because the families that are being raised in this culture are definitely dysfunctional, okay? So if you it has nothing to do with the shade of your skin, okay? Oh, how much money you have. Because you can look at all the different ethnic groups or whatever you're calling the different groups that you're a part of, and economic groups that's out there, they're all having the same troubles. In fact, they make movies trying to convince you that this dysfunctional situation that you're in is normal, but it's not normal, okay? So just remember, love is the act that make others feel good. But every act you're going to commit, think about the act before you commit it. Will it make this person feel good? If it doesn't, don't commit the act. And if you deal with that, how could you ever have an enemy? Because you've never done anything wrong to the person. So there's no reason for this person to be your enemy, unless some people just program to just dislike a certain thing. You know, that's a whole other issue, okay? Now, let's talk about family. Oh, boy. Now, let us deal with the topic of the day. Why should we get involved in politics, okay? Now, you have to think about where you are. In this country, I'm getting an echo. Hold on for a minute. Let me get rid of this echo. Okay, that got rid of the echo. I have more than one line plugged in sometimes because I want to make sure that I can hear you, you can hear me, and things of that nature. So I was just getting the echo because both lines are too close at this particular point. Now, okay, now we solved that problem. Let's deal with the topic of the day. Why should we want to be involved in politics? You have to think about what politics is and where you are. Oh man, we're having trouble with the studio. Okay, I don't know what happened there. Boy. I'm having trouble with the studio just dropped out. That's going to make this a little tricky. because the studio just dropped off. I don't know what happened here. I'm having this is kind of weird. I shouldn't. Oh, there we go. It's back now. Okay. This is kind of weird. Now, if you want to comment or have anything to say as I talk, just press 1 and I'll open up your mic. And before I even get started, I'd like to thank everybody that's called in. It's been patient waiting because we're half an hour late. Not because of anything that I did. It's the show. Something's wrong with the computer here. And hopefully I can get it straightened out between now and the next episode. Okay. Now, if once you consider where you are, politics is running your life. All right. Now, when you deal with politics, they have you under a particular thought process that politics afford a politician. No, that's not true. Well, let me say it this way, because I disagree with that, because how you raise your children should be under the political system that you agree with and that you like. If you like the democratic system, then you should be raising your family, your children, under the democratic system. If you like the republic system, then you should be raising your children or family under the republic system. If you like the anarchy system, if you like socialism, communism, whatever political system that you like, your household should be raised under that particular system so that your children will get used to dealing with politics. We send our children out in the world, and they don't have a clue to what's going on. They don't know how to check out the political people or what's going on. But everything that's going on in this country comes down to who's running the political arena. We got Trump in there right now. Now, if you look at the way he's running the political arena and the difference between him and Barack Obama, it's a big difference in leadership. So whoever's running the political system has a lot to do with your life and what's going on with you. So you need to get involved in that. Well, how can I get involved in the political system? Well, the political system starts all the way down to the block captain. Who's your block captain? Do you know who your block captain is? Or you even talk or think about your block captain? Because if you want something done, if you want some cleaning or cleaning supplies, you can get cleaning supplies for free from the city that you live in, from the county that you live in, or you have this plug into your block captain. You see what I'm saying? It could save you money. Now you got the then you got the block captain, you got the aldermen, all the way up the line to your different congressmen, all the way up the line, you know, to the city council, to the president, the mayor, all the way up. Now these people are influencing the effects of what's going on in your county and city and state. So now you need to know about what's happening so you know who to call when something's going on. Who's your alderman? Who should I call if I have a problem, you know? Do they know who we are? Have I been interacting with these people that are controlling the money? Now, you know, some of the rich 1%ers, they say, I don't care who runs the government. Let me know who controls the money. Because the money actually controls what's going on in your communities, you know? Whether you're going to get a raise next week, if the food is going up. The politicians got together and decided to raise the price of soda. You know what I mean? If they raise the price, that ain't going to stop people from drinking the soda. That's just going to make them make the people who are selling the soda pay more money to the tax people, which is coming out of your pocket. All they're doing is hurting you. You know, same thing with the cigarettes. They raise the price of cigarettes. Don't hurt the company. All they do is when they tax the tobacco company. Don't hurt the tobacco company. All the tobacco company do is raise the price of the cigarettes. This is how they're tricking you in a lot of different situations. You say, well, I need more money. I need a raise so I can buy more stuff. Okay, your food bill is $300 a month. Your rent or mortgage, whatever, is another. Let's say that's $700-$800. So let's deal with round figures. Let's say your rent is $700 a month. Okay, that's $1,000 a month right there. All right. Now let's say you're making $1,600 a month, so you got $500 a month to do other things with. Now you ask for a raise. They give you a raise. Now you're making $1,600 a month. Well, here's what they do. They raise the cost of your food, services, electric, and gas. So by the time you get your check, what you was normally paying $1,000 a month for, now you're paying $1,100 a month. So that raise right out the window. That's why the cost of living keeps going up. What we need, instead of getting more money on the job, right, we need to get them to bring down the prices of goods and services. So now if you're making $1,500 a month and they've dropped the food $100 a month, you've actually gained $100 a month. This is politics. So you have to get involved with politics because it will actually help your life and the way you live and what's going on, okay? Now, remember, if you want to get in, if you have a comment or something to say, just press 1, and I'll bring you right away, because at least while the system is up and running. Now, let's go to the next thing. What is politics? You know, now, we just talked about why we need to get into politics, but what is politics? Politics is the art of compromise, okay, to keep you from pulling out your gun and blowing each other's brains out. That's what politics is. So you have to deal with politics in your home, politics on your job, politics everywhere. When you see these guys sitting around, right, conspiring, that don't mean they're conspiring to do something bad, but they're all conspiring. When you see these guys sitting around conspiring, each person had their own particular agenda as to what they want and what they're trying to do, whether they're from a group or a district or a county or whatever, put them in office. They have an agenda, and they have an obligation to the people that voted for them. So now they have to argue for who the people that voted for them, and the other guy has to argue for the people that voted for them. So they try to get as much as they can, and when they feel as though they can't get any more out of each other, then they compromise. Okay, we got a deal. You give me this, you take that, and then we'll go forward. Now you're in the political arena. Compromising on the best deal that you can get for the people that you represent, okay? Now, the biggest problem that we have when we deal with politics, you can't compromise in a political arena if you don't have a representative. That's why they pushed this this European at us in school, talking about taxation without representation is tyranny, okay? If you're not being represented, it's like Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico can't vote for the president, okay? They're not being represented. They have a guy in, and they do have one guy in Congress, but he don't have no vote. What kind of crap is that? Guam can't vote for the president, okay? Virgin Islands can't vote for the president. See what I'm saying? They got different enclaves around the planet that are under the auspices of the United States that don't have a representation in the political arena. So without representation, they're actually being tyrannized. That's tyranny, you know? So you living in this country, based on whatever your status is, based on what you assume that your status is, they've given you the opportunity to vote, right? That's all that you have. That's the only, if you don't have any money, that's the only political leverage that you have is that vote, you know? And so if you don't participate in the political arena, then you're not being represented. You have taxation without representation. Use your representation. You'll be amazed at you'll be amazed at what will happen when you know, when those that are representing you actually know, okay, that you're going to vote their butt out of office if they don't do what they're supposed to do. If they don't represent you like they're supposed to, you will kick them out of office. Now, they know that. And if they know that, they will treat you a little different when you call them on the phone, when you start talking to them, because they know that you're organized force. Now, this is something that we have to deal with, okay? Something that we don't deal with, that we need to deal with all the time, okay? Now, what does it mean when they say it takes a village to raise a child, okay? We hear that all the time. A lot of different groups say, well, it takes a village to raise a child, come from Africa. But here's the problem. The way you're brought up in this culture, where's your village? Where in the world is your village at? We if you watch the TV and the programs that they show, they deal with mama, papa, baby, okay, couple of brothers and sisters, okay, maybe one or two cousins. That's it. You never see more than that on TV because they don't want you to know that you're supposed to be reaching into your entire diaspora, all of your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, because if y'all all got together, there's got to be at least 700, 800 of y'all. And when you go, when you have that type of voting block and you hook up with other families, okay, see, well, I'm using the term family, but we're going to get into that in a minute. But when you hook up with other families, right, who are carrying 700 or 800 people in the family, you've got a large voting block. It only takes 2,000 people to put a mayor in office. Most mayor contests is won by 2,000 votes or less. And if your tribe, which is your family, okay, which is your village, see, your village is not connected. They have got you with the thought process that breaks your village apart, okay? You don't reach out to all of you. You don't have a reason to because you're in different religious groups. So one of you might want to do Christmas. One of you might want to go, if you're in Islam, you don't want to deal with Christmas. You know, see what I'm saying? So you're not getting together during the holidays. You don't want to deal with Thanksgiving. You don't want to deal with Easter. The holidays are for more, okay, than just your view on religion. The holiday is what you use to bring your village together. See, this is important. We have to get out of the habit of saying, well, I don't deal with Christmas. I like Kwanzaa, okay? Kwanzaa is good. Christmas is good. Easter is good. Thanksgiving is good. Halloween. Every holiday is good if you know what the holidays are for. They're for you to bring the village together, okay? That's what they're for. They're not about your religion. Or, well, we got Nimrod on Christmas, and we got Satan on Halloween, and we got the great God, Queen Esther on Easter, you know. All that is just to distract you from the real purpose of the holidays. The purpose of the holidays is for you to bring the village together, right? There's no reason why you shouldn't be celebrating your birthdays. In some Muslim circles, we don't celebrate birthdays. Why not? That's another way for you to bring the village together. If the village is not united, how can the village raise the child? The child is out there by itself because the child only has the immediate tribal members to deal with, and after that, the child is on their own. They're in the drugs, the peer pressure, because the children are raising the children, you know, because the village ain't there. Yes, it takes a village to raise a child. But first, you have to bring the village together. Think about what I'm saying. Don't get caught up on the infighting of what the holidays mean. Man, you know, I missed a lot, I'm telling you, in my years. I've been around for a minute. I missed a lot by not dealing with these holidays, especially when I switched from Christianity to Islam. Oh, man. You know, I wouldn't go to the Christmas party. I didn't deal with Easter. But I remember as I was growing up, my mother and father, my mother, she was a Baptist. Well, she was a voodoo Baptist priest. That's a whole other story there. And my father was a Jehovah's Witness. So I grew up in a kind of like diverse religious group, you know. But every Christmas, it was 12 of us now. It was 12 of us. Now, you think about that. You got one or two or three children out there. It was 12 of us. Every Christmas, we had our toys and stuff, and we all came together, and we would play and have fun. Easter, the same thing. Halloween, the same thing. Once I grew up out of that paradigm that my parents set, we didn't participate in nothing. We hardly see each other except for weddings and funerals. Those are something that you have to participate in as a group, you know. But you have to begin to bring the villages back together. The villages are your family and the entire diaspora. Well, let's get into family now. Let's get into that word, you know. What's the difference between a family and a tribe, okay? A family is the economic structure that you have to support your tribe. See, your tribe is mama, papa, baby, and everybody in, and all of your aunts and uncles. If you're married, that becomes part of the tribe. As the children get married and grow up, all that becomes part of the tribe. The tribe is huge because that's your village. Villages are made up out of tribes. You see what I'm saying? But if you're not pursuing the tribal members, okay, because they got the tribe, you think they got you thinking something silly about the tribe when you think about our ancestors, the Indians, you know. Well, that's who we are. We're the so-called Indians, and everybody else that they've been talking about, that's us. We're those people, because we were here when they got here, okay? So we're all those people that they're talking about, but they make it sound silly, talking about the tribe, you know? Oh, you know, tribe, man. Tribal fighting and tribal this, you know? When we had tribes in Africa, that was large as the city of Philadelphia, okay? Yeah, we had tribal fighting. Different groups got to have little problems and rumble. But that's how big the tribes was. Wasn't no little 200 people sitting in shacks like they try to show you on TV. No, no, the tribes were huge with strong metropolitan areas and every doggone thing else. You got to do your research. You can't just listen to what the 1% are pushing down to you on TV and on the internet, you know? There's more to all of this, but you have to do your research. I remember this movie, The Godfather, Michael Corleone and the boys, you know, and the guy come up to Mike, he said, "Hey, man, I want to start my own family. This guy's married with 3 children. What was he talking about starting his own family? He want to control the economics with his tribe." This is the inside story that they don't want you to know, okay? You have to start reaching out to your cousins, your second cousins, third cousins. When you deal with the 1%, they know who their cousins are 3, 4, 5 times twice removed because they deal as a tribal unit. When you think about the Rothschilds and the DuPonts and the Kennedys and the Onassis, they know everybody. They did a thing on Obama. You see what I'm saying? His lineage go all the way back to the Queen of England. You see what I'm saying? Oh, some of you didn't know we had a black queen, but we did. Queen Sophia, well, we used to run Spain, Ireland, all that kind of stuff, but you got to do your research. Do some checking on that stuff. You know, King James, the guy in the Bible, he was a black guy. The white guy they pushed him, he was a King James, but he wasn't a King James that did the Bible. See, they tricking us up a little bit, you know? You got to do your research and find out what's going on, you know? I mean, you got to really get into the difference between a tribe and a family so that you know how to bring the village back together. I just wanted to throw that thought pass out there. Learn how to bring the village back together. If you don't know who your parents are, go find out. You don't know who your cousins, your aunts and uncles, go find them. Look for them. Find out what they're doing, what they're up to, what they're into, you know? But don't dismiss the holidays. I don't care what your religion is. Whatever you believe, that's up to you, okay? But understand this. Understand this, please. You need to connect with the village. Bring the village back together. If you're a Muslim and they're celebrating Christmas, don't get caught up on a tree. Don't get caught up on the pagan rituals and stuff that they send out to you, you know. Don't get caught up on all that stuff. Just know that your tribe is there, and you need to interact with them, all right? They say you can go into a bar. You don't have to drink liquor. You don't have to drink to go into. You don't have to drink alcohol to go into a bar. You can go in there and have a soda and interact with the people in there. You can be in the bar, but not of the bar. That's one of the things we say all the time. But this whole show that I'm dealing with today is about fostering the unity between the tribes, between your tribe. Find out who your tribal members are. Go check them out. Go seek them. Learn who they are. And please stop getting hung up on the mindset that they're throwing at you about the different holidays. You need these holidays. You can talk to anybody in this country right now, and they don't know who their family is three or four times removed. They don't know. They don't have a clue because it's not important to them, you know? And it should be important because it takes a village to raise a child, okay? And what you need to do is bring your village together. Now, you might be the first one to start it, but you can. Stop. Don't get hung up like I'm standing now. Don't get hung up on the holidays. Go to whatever holiday they're into. I can't celebrate Halloween because they're dealing with the devil. If you really know what the devil is, we're going to talk about that, but who is Satan and the devil one day. But that's going to blow your mind when you find out who the devil really is. You follow what I'm saying? They think the devil's a person. If you think the devil is somebody sitting down in the middle of the earth on a hot rock drinking tea waiting for your soul to come down so they can torture you, come on. Think about the stories that they're giving you, okay? Don't dismiss the holidays. I know I've said that a few times, but I'm going to say it again. Reach out on the holidays, whether it's Halloween, whether it's Christmas or whatever. Have some candy at the door on Halloween. Get the children used to coming to your house. That's important. Oh, I know him. He got good candy on Halloween, you know? You sitting there not interacting with the children in the neighborhood because somebody told you that Halloween was all about Satan. So, oh, no, I don't do that no more. So now you're missing out on all the fun, or you're missing out on the thought process that the children will have saying, you're a good guy. You know what I'm saying? This is not part of what I wanted to get into, but since we're at this point, I want to say this. You know what in the Bible it says, he that eats of the tree of life will have everlasting life. Now, they're not teaching you what the tree of life is, okay, since we're talking about family. Listen, the tree bears fruit, right? You, as parents, are the tree. You bore fruit. If you can eat from what your children produce and their children produce, you'll have everlasting life. Your children are the tree of life. Come on. I know I'm throwing this stuff out there. Somebody said, man, where does God get these thoughts from? You know what I mean? But am I right? No. Am I wrong? No. But I want you to hear this information because it's so important. Your children are the tree of life. Now, all of you that are on the line right now, quite a few on the line, I want to thank you again for calling me. I really appreciate it, especially what happened and relating everything. But ask yourself this question. How much can you eat from what your children are producing? Are your children producers? You know what I'm saying? Or are they consumers? See? They can be consumers and producers at the same time, but we want them to be producers so they can consume what they're producing. Okay, that's the tree of life. You guard and protect that tree of life, which is your children. Teach them how to produce so that you can consume from what they're producing and you have everlasting life. That's what's going on, all right? This whole hour basically has been dedicated to tribal and family stuff because I want us as a crew, as a group, to get into the thought process of what's really going on. This is a wake-up call, okay? Hook up with your diaspora. That's why when I have friends and they ask me, they say, well, I'm going to see so-and-so. It's out of town. I jump right in the car and go with them, you know? Because it's important that they connect with their aunts and uncles and family, no matter where they are. If I got a friend and they're going to see a family member, oh, I'm going, trust me. I'll even help pay the way down there. You see what I'm saying? Because I know how important it is for your friends to connect with their family, their children, and things of that nature. All right? Now, you got Christmas. I'm just going to talk about the holidays just for a second because most people know about what's going on with the holidays. So I'm just going to talk about the holidays for a second, okay? Anytime you want to jump in, just touch on, just jump in. Now, we're talking about, my phone is going crazy here. Okay, there we go. I keep forgetting. I got the board on one phone, and I'm talking on another phone. Sometimes I get a hold of the phone, but I'm putting one phone. But anyway, Let's talk about the holidays for a second. Now, they done told you that Christmas, we got Nimrod on Christmas, and that Christmas is a pagan holiday. And they done told you that Jesus had nothing to do with Christmas, that Yeshua wasn't born on December. And then they done told you that Christmas is part of an equinoctial thing coming from the astrology and things of this nature, where we're dealing with the cross and the equator and hope. I mean, I've heard it all, been through all of it. But here's the thing. The real reason for the holidays, the real reason why the 1% set up the holidays so that they can organize and unite the village. Okay? We're talking about Easter. Oh, that's God, Esther, and she's a pagan. And then they used to throw the Easter eggs out, and they used to go to with the Easter egg and looking for the Easter egg with the bunny rabbit. That had nothing to do with the. That had nothing to do with Jesus. That had to do with the pagan god Esther. Okay, all right. All that might be true. Okay. But the real reason you have Easter is to unite and organize your village. Okay. Now we got Halloween. Oh, man, that's where the trick-or-treat used to go, and the girls used to run around, and if you catch the girls, then you used to trick or the treat. Are you a trick or the treat? They used to, why they call it giants a trick and a prostitute. You know, it just goes on and on and on and on, you know? So that's all about Satan and paganism and so forth and so on. The real reason for the holidays, okay? Now, Halloween is a very important holiday. Because it gets the children in the neighborhood coming to your house to interact with you, okay? That's important. Your neighborhood, some people live in the neighborhood and don't even know who the people is right down the street. You can't even call their name out. Go five doors down, knock on the door, they won't even know you. And you live on the same block. You know, been there for years. Why? Because you're not participating in the holidays that bring the village together. Then we got Memorial Day. That's another holiday. And we got Veterans Day. Why do you think they're making up all these holidays? The 1% are making up these holidays because every time a holiday come up, they're bringing and organizing their village around a holiday. Now, if you're coming together for a Christmas celebration, see what I'm saying? Are they watching you? Yeah, but it's a Christmas celebration, so there's nothing political about it, you know. But when they get together for their Christmas celebration, it's someplace where nobody has access to it but them. You can't spy on them. You can't check out what they're doing because they're planning village activity. You're not planning village activity, okay? Use the holidays. Don't get caught up in the madness of what they're telling you about the holidays. Now, they got us strode off. I admit they have us strode off, me included, because when you go to school, they tell you some apple fell on a guy's head, and all of a sudden he knows about gravity. When you got people thousands of years ago who were picking up bricks bigger than buildings, but they didn't know about gravity. How they were moving bricks and stuff like that, and in the physics and the laws of gravity. But they tell you some guy, apple fell on a guy's head, you know? I mean, come on. This is the nonsensical thought process that they give your tree so that your tree, when your tree bears fruit, okay, the fruit is defective. Okay. Now we got another nonsensical idea that they throw at you. Okay. Oh, we had this guy. He flew on a kite up there, and all of a sudden, lightning struck the kite on the key, and now he knows about electricity. But 2,000 years ago, they had batteries. Megalotesca got all his information from the pyramids and how the pyramids were structured. Although, if you're familiar with Megalotesca and dealing with the alternating current and direct current. You know, and they were having a little battle between the two, and they taking credit for it, you know. But they give you this nonsensical idea that some guy that flew a kite up, and nobody knew about electricity until the storm hit the kite. Oh, boy. You know what I mean? Nonsensical thought process. That's what it is. They got a fat, chubby guy coming down the chimney in the wintertime when the chimneys are on, bringing toys down the chimney. Come on, you know. They know when you get older and realize the thought process that they got you under, that you're not going to be that, oh boy, my phone is acting stupid again. They know that you're not going to continue that thought process. That separates you from the holidays, but separates you from your families, what keeps the tribe and the village from uniting together. Yes, yes, it takes a village to raise a child. I want you to stop and think for a minute. Everybody that's on the line, just stop and think for a minute. Where in the heck is your village? You can't got no village out there. Well, you can't plug into nobody. You see what I'm saying? Because you have missed the boat. The thought process that they put you under have caused you to miss the boat. You have a village. You just got to plug into them, see what's going on, and work with them, okay? Now, okay. Now, here's one thing about the 1%. This is what they know. As long as your villages aren't together, they don't have any opposition. There's no opposition for them whatsoever if your village is not together. Who's going to challenge them? They come in with a family, with a tribe of 2,000 strong and millions of dollars. You come in with a group of 10, 11 people that you call your family and no money. You're no challenge for these guys. You know what I'm saying? You're no challenge for them, and that's exactly how they like it, all right? Get involved in politics. Go out there, man. Figure out what's going on. Run. Be a part of the political process. Get involved. And it starts with the block captain. Learn who your block captain is and just find out about the alderman and all the way up the line. Learn the system. More important than learning the system, those of you who haven't raised your children already, now I missed the boat. I didn't raise my children on the political system, which that's just something I missed, okay? Those of you who are young and on the line and you have children, raise your children under the political system that you like. If you like democracy, then set the democracy up in your house. If you like socialism, set the socialist system up in your house. Whatever system that you like, set it up with your children. So by the time your children get 12, 13, 14, at the age when peer pressure is the greatest, they'll already understand the political arena. They'll already understand at least one system, how it works, and they know what's going on. I suggest, since most of us, either Democrats or Republicans, somewhere in that line, that's how we raise, set your house up as a democracy, or set your house up as a republic, where your children everybody can sit around and pick, well, who's going to be in charge today, you know? Who's going to be this today? Who's going to be that today, you know? That's the Republican system. The Democratic system, who's going to sit around and decide what rules you're going to make? Everybody decide on the rules, not on the person that's in charge, but the rules that's going to run the household, okay? We missed the boat, and it was intentional that we missed the boat because they do not, I'm talking about the 1%. Well, I say 1% because I don't want to say white people, black people, all that, because they're all the same guy, you know? Okay. That's a big statement. How can they all be the same guy? Somebody told me that the white man is the devil. You know what I mean? Somebody told me that the black man is God. Somebody told me that everybody comes from the female. You get so many stories that you don't know who's who, what's up, which way is down. You understand what I'm saying? Listen. I'm going to take you back to the Bible for a minute. This is an interpretation. Is it right? No. Is it wrong? No. This is just another thought process that you can go to. Because that's the last part of the lecture we're going to talk about God today. Oh, boy. God, oh, my goodness. What a subject, okay, in the Bible. It says that it blew the breath of life into the clay, and the clay became a living soul. The soul is your body. The spirit, that the breath of life is your spirit, okay? And your spirit is connected to a mind, which is your mind is connected to the cosmos, all right? Now listen to this very carefully. Very carefully listen to this. That show you living in is not you. And the 1% know this. They know that shell that you're living in is not you, okay? You are a God. Conscious energy formed in flesh is a God, okay? When you look at the color of a person's skin, that's not who they are. When you talk about your ancestors, You are the doggone ancestors. You think this is your first rodeo? You think that's the first time you've been through this? Oh, no. Not the first time you've been through this. You've been through this many times. This is why sometimes you start remembering stuff. You say, wait a minute. I don't remember doing that. But you did it maybe 500 years ago, and it's just not starting to come through your psyche. Yeah, do you feel what I'm saying? Some white folks, I use the colors because that's what we're more familiar with. You know, some white folks have been in black shells before. So when you look at a white person, you can't think that this person don't know what's up, because you don't know who's in that shell. Some black people have been in white shells before. You don't know who, you don't know what's going on, but the shell is not the person. Now, to give you some kind of idea that the 1% know this, and they practice this here. They just come out with a movie, okay? And I think it's called Altered Carbon. They call it Altered Carbon. It's on Netflix. If you get a chance, watch it. They have the shells running around. They can jump from shell to shell to shell whenever they get ready. They call them sleaze. Change the vowel and you get slaves. You understand? They run in so much game because nobody's actually plugging you into reality of what's really going on. Nobody's introducing you to the thought processes that I'm bringing to you on this show. All right, this is the wake up call. This is 2018. It's going to get rough out here. Okay, and if you don't have the right thought process, this stuff is going to affect you to where you might get to the point that you say, man, I think I'm going to shut this sleeve down. Let's call it what it is. It's a slave. That slave will do whatever you tell it to do, as long as you understand that you're the master. You're the master of that slave. Some people say, well, you know, stand on a roof, they get ready to jump, that slave is saying, oh, Lord, this is going to hurt so much. Just got to jump off this roof. But it will do whatever you say. You tell that slave to stop eating flesh, it'll stop eating flesh. You tell that slave to stop fornicating, committing adultery on a part, it will stop. It will do whatever you tell it. But you have to understand who's in control. You are the slave master. You're going to always be in a slave master relationship. The 1% know this. And the fight around the planet, okay, it's for who's going to control that slave. And they do all kinds of mental thoughts and mental programming and everything else to get you to allow them to control the slave. Because if you don't consent, now we can get into a lot of legal stuff on your consent to do things. Your consent is very important. Those of you who are studying law, studying the system, how the system works, your consent is very important. When you go to work, you're giving your consent so that your boss can assume the position of slave master. Every time your boss tells you to do something, you get up and you do it. Don't question your boss, you just go ahead and do it, because you've allowed your boss, you've consented for your boss to assume the position of slave master. Okay? God is conscious energy formed in flesh. Now, I'm going to talk about God for a minute. Oh, we got so many stories about God, you know. You have God, and then you have the great God, okay? Now, God is you as an individual, conscious energy formed in flesh. Now, back to the Bible. The Bible says we are God's children of the Most High. It don't say Most High God. They just threw that in there. And God is not, in Hebrew, they didn't have upper and lowercase letters. So that big G, little G, that's just another trick. It's trying to get you off of who you really are, okay? You are an individual God, okay? You have power to do things. Now, the great God is everybody collectively. That's the great God. When they have a hurricane, something happens, the great God comes together and things change. They give it to people, get money, food, whatever they need, because the great God is forming. And when they realize that there's a God and a great God, they want to control as a greater portion of the great God as possible. That's why they're so concerned about how many people they have, how many people you have following you. You got 5,000-10,000 people following you, you're wealthy. All of them giving you $20-$30 a week, you paid sales then, because you have controlled a portion of the great God. That's what the religious institutions have done. they're controlling portions of the great God. These preachers are living in $5 million homes, flying jets and all this stuff because they have a portion of the great God. That's just a portion of the great God. Can you imagine for a second what would happen if the great God came together all over the planet? There would be no more hunger, no more poverty. Sickness would be cured, everything, because everything that's needed to maintain God is in God. And when the great God comes together, it's just multiplied by billions. So that's the power. The power of the planet is that slave that you're walking around with, you know, not realizing what you have. You're sitting on the money. Your physical body is the money. That's why they can't stop prostitution. You know what I'm saying? These ladies say, I'm sitting here hungry and I got a physical body. Duh. They get up and go out on the street and get paid so that they can eat and do whatever they have to do. You see what I'm saying? Your physical body is the money. You got men sitting around. You know, men are doing the same thing now because, well, this culture is a little off, but men are doing the same thing now. You got male prostitutes out there, and you got females looking for male prostitutes so they can get laid. You know what I'm saying? The body is the money. When they need workers, when they set these jobs up, they can't complete these companies without bodies because that's the money. They bring you in, pay you X amount of dollars, and they make three times off what they're paying you for your labor. Because they know you are the money. That's what they're fighting over. You think they're fighting over oil and all that stuff? They're fighting over control of the great God. That's what the fight is all about. This is the wake-up call, people. This is the whole new thought process. They're fighting to have control over the great God. Okay? He who controls the great God controls the wealth. That's what this is all about, you know? You're in a city, the great God is paying taxes, and the city is wealthy. The great God is paying taxes to the government, and the government is wealthy. Whoever controls the great God controls the wealth, controls the military, controls everything. So you as a God have to begin taking control over yourself. Understand that you're in a slave master relationship. Now, nobody's checked in. I mean, nobody's hit one. I don't know if one is not working or whatever, but everybody's on the line. Nobody left, so thank you so much for hanging in there. But remember, if you have a comment, you know, you can just hit one, and and I'll open up your mic, and you can talk or say whatever you want to talk, you know. Now, if you're hitting one and your mic is not open, I have to apologize because this board has been acting a little strange. I see some things on here that I don't know what the heck they are. I'm scared to push anything. I might cut the whole show off. So it's kind of interesting. Well, I only got about 6 minutes left. but this is Elohim Speaks. My agenda is to be here every Sunday at 3 o'clock. Bar nothing happened. We didn't start at 3:30 today. Bar nothing happened. Be here every Sunday at 3 o'clock. So I can introduce you to different thought processes. Am I right? No. Am I wrong? No. It's just something for you to think about. I'll send your heart to say, make you say, well, that's something to think about, you know. Now, I am a Bible thumper. So as the weeks go by, I will be quoting out of the Bible quite a bit, although my interpretation of what's in the Bible is going to be slightly different than what you're getting from your ministers and your preachers. I listen to Craig Fordala, he's reached enlightenment, but he's not using his enlightenment to bring the people into enlightenment. He's using his enlightenment to quarter money from the people, and he's getting paid. That's the lifestyle he want to live. That's what he want to do. Then that's fine. Oh, we got a caller. Hold on. Let me see if somebody cut that. So the buttons aren't working. Yes, caller 2026. You on the air?
Yo, Daddy, brother love, just stopping by and say what's up. Over his name is Great Show, Dad.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you checking in. Brother love, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Dad?
None too much. This is one of my great sidekicks. I'm glad he's checking in. I'm glad he listened to the gift for the whole show. Oh, my goodness. Hold on. We got another caller. Let me click her. I only got about 5 minutes left, guys. So hold on. Hold on. Let me click this call in. The buttons was working. Oh, boy. Oh, no, they're on. It's 2026. The button was working. Now the button doesn't stop working. Well, anyhow, thank you very much for calling in. And what I have started doing, I'm just going to bring this out for a minute. What I've started doing, since the families are so disrupted about the holidays, right? Now, I've started a family birthday party. And so that the family can come together to celebrate everybody in that month's birthday. That's one way to try to bring that village together to get around the dispute that they have in all the holidays, okay? But we're here, and we've got about 4 minutes left. the buttons was working. Somebody else just clicked in, but the button stopped working all of a sudden. It's kind of interesting. Okay, well, hopefully next week I'll have things worked out. I'll call a blog so I can find out what's going on with the particular system that I'm using, because it was supposed to start at 3 o'clock and it started at 3. So that was a big no-no right there. Okay, now I see some numbers on here that are very familiar to me, and I want to thank you for calling and checking in, and I appreciate it. If you hit one and I can't get you, then you have to understand that it's not intentional. There's something wrong with the system. 2026, since your mic is open, do you have any comment or anything you want to say about what we talked about today?
Well, not today, Dad.
Okay. Well, so we'll get back with you another time then. Maybe next week you have something to say. But thank you, Ian. You were here for the whole show, and I really appreciate that. And it's good when the little ones start checking in and checking out. They check in and check up on what you're doing and what's going on, because in reality, not the other part, back in crazy. In reality, they're what it's all about. We have to eat from the tree of life. And the tree of life are the children. If we can eat from what the children produce, we'll have everlasting life on this earth, because our children's 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 children will be able to eat from what the tree of life is producing. So, you went, you adults out there, you're producing some good fruit, you know. train your fruit, teach your fruit well, because they are the tree of life, and you need to eat out of what they're producing. If they're not producing anything right now, teach them a trade, teach them some kind of way to produce something that they can use for the entire family to help. To help make money, to help do things, to help different members in the family out. Whatever it is that you can teach them that you know, plug into them, you know. And please, I just want to say this one more time. Please, together with your tribes and families on the holidays, don't dismiss the holidays because of your particular religion. Don't let them block you from interacting with your village. Get together, bring your village together, because it takes everybody to bring these children. Well, we got about 60 seconds here. It takes everybody to bring these children up to where they're supposed to be brought up. It takes a village to raise a child. Go out, start today. Go out. Bring your village together. Find out what they're doing, your nephews, aunts, uncles, nieces, your marriage, your extended family, whatever, your friends' family. Find out what they're doing. Find out how you can hook up. When they have these holidays, get with them on this holiday. This is Elohim Speak. I'm here every Sunday, okay, at 3 o'clock, barring nothing happens. I can't make positive statements because I'm not in control of all the technology, so anything can go wrong. But my goal is to be here every Sunday at 3 o'clock. And remember, as an individual God, you're connected to a great God, which is 6 billion people. You're all connected as one, all right? And get out of this, colors of the show. You got to deal with who's in that show, all right? So you got to talk. I guess Martin Luther King said something to that effect about the contents of a person's character. Find out who's in that show. Don't just dismiss the show because of the shade of the show. Feel me? All right. I love you. And remember that no matter where you go, what you do, that somebody loves you. And I will talk to you again next week. Much love.